ॐ ध्यायामोदरलाभकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम्। Even as I said in the previous day, each of the shlokas of Saundarya Lahari speaks about Devi's Saundaryam, Devi's beauty, Devi's grace, Devi's power. So it goes, the first 41 shlokas goes in depth about explaining various aspects of the Devi, Devi's mastakam and all those things, similar things. So this shloka speaks about Devi's Pada Dhuli. Dhuli means dust, Padam means feet. So this speaks about Devi's, the dust under Devi's feet. So as we have already learned that Padam is very powerful. Guru Padam or Deva Padam. Padam is, represents many things. I have learned two interpretations of Padam. One is explained by, if I am right, Parthasarathi, who was in part of Chinmaya mission, and the second is by Paramarthananda. So Padayati iti Padah. So Padayati, that which shows us the way, leads us the way, therefore it is called Pada. Shankaracharya is called Bhagavat Pada. Shankara Bhagavat Pada. Bhagavat Pada means Bhagavantam Padayati iti Bhagavat Padah. One who leads us to Bhagavan, one who leads us to the state of Bhagavan, is called Bhagavat Pada. So Pada is that which leads us to the ultimate reality of Brahman. It leads us through devotion, it leads us through knowledge, it leads us through Guru. So the Padam, or Guru's Padam, or Deva Padam, Ishwara's Padam, both, we develop devotion to the Padam. Devotion helps us in purifying the mind as well as gaining concentration, seeing oneness everywhere. Along with Jnanam, we'll have the knowledge that the Padam stands for Nirguna Parabrahman, and that Brahman alone exists here. Everything else is only an illusion in that Brahman. So in this way we get bhakti and jnanam as well as guru. We get the guru when we are focused on the padam, Ishwara's padam, then Ishwara takes us to a guru. When we gain focus on guru pada, then we'll be led to Brahman or aparoksha jnanam or jivan mukti. So padam is very important. The second interpretation is that Padam, our body is supported by our feet. Even in the same way, the Guru is supported in Brahman. The Guru's substratum is Brahman, because Guru is ever established in Brahman. So the Guru's Pada or Ishwara's Pada, because Ishwara also stands for Brahman, both those stand for the ultimate reality of Brahman, therefore they denote Brahman. So Pada itself, we know the importance of Guru Padam. We have learned Guru Padaka Stotram. So we have learned in Guru Padaka Stotra, where he speaks about the various aspects. Natayo Shri Patitam Sahimiyuh Kadachidapya Shudaridravariyaha Mukascha Vachaspaditam Hitabhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam. And we have learned many other shlokas as well about the Guru's Pada. Kamadi Sarpa Vrajagarudabhyam Viveka Vairagi Nidhi Pradabhyam Bodha Pradabhyam Dhritamokshadabhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam. Kamadi Sarpa Vrajagarudabhyam, for the Garuda or eagle for the snakes of Kama, etc. Viveka Vairagya Nidhi Pradabhyam, that with bestows the treasure of Viveka Vairagya, and Bodha Pradabhyam Dhrita Mokshadabhyam, Bodha Pradabhyam gives knowledge and enlightenment, Dhrita Mokshadabhyam sudden or instant moksha. Namo Namah Shri Guru Padukabhyam, I prostrate to such a Guru's Pada. So we know the Guru's, the importance of Guru Pada. So here Shankara speaks about the importance of Devi's, not Devi's Pada, but the Devi's, the Dhuli or the dust under Devi's feet. So that means like there is the peak of devotion where Shankara is not speaking about Devi's Padam, but he is speaking about the dust under Devi's Padam. After learning this shloka, we will know that if Devi's Pada Dhuli, Devi's, the dust under Devi's feet itself has so much mahima, then what would be the mahima of Devi Pada? If such great is the mahima of Devi Padas, then what would be the fruit that we get if we are devoted to such a Devi's Pada? So that is the essence, or that is the importance, or the goal to be achieved through explaining Devi's Pada Dhuli. So this shloka, the second shloka, which speaks about Devi's Pada Dhuli, is set in Raga Mohanam Raga. Mohanam is one of the most popular raga. In Hindustani, it is called Boop or Bhopali. As I forgot the name, it's not Bhopali. Bhopali is a ragam in, yeah, Bhopali. It's called Bhopali or Boop. Whereas in Carnatic, it's called Mohanam. So it goes like this. Taniyam sampam sum tava charana pankeruhabhavam virinchihi sanchinvan virachayati lokana vikalam vahatyenam shauri katamabhi sahasrena shirasam hara samshuddhyenam bhajati basito dhulana vidyum. So taniya amsam pamsum, taniya amsam pamsum, taniya means very subtle or very small. Taniya amsam pamsum tava charana panke ruha bhavam. So the feet, the dust under your feet. Panke, tava panke ruha bhavam, panke ruha bhavam, so under your feet. So the small, the tiny dust under your feet. What is the mahima of that feet? Virinchihi sanchinvan. Virinchihi means Brahma. So Brahma sanchinvan collects the dust under your feet. He takes the one dust under your feet. Sanchinvan, after taking or collecting, what does he do? Virachayati lokan avikalam. He virachayati lokan. He creates world. He does the process of creation. He does the activity of creation. And avikalam, without any stop. That means he always collects the dust under your feet, and out of that one dust he creates continuously. He doesn't stop. This is also a way of telling that creation never stops. So this is a work for a sadhaka for an ajnani. So for an ajnani, world is creation is going on and on and on. For a jnani who is a bhakta or a shakta, the world is also going on and on because there is no world to completely vanish. If the world really existed, then it will vanish. But does the world really exist? It doesn't exist. If the world doesn't exist, then it will not vanish as well. So the world will still be there. If the world is still there, then creation process will continue without any end, without any break. So this also means that a jnani will be seeing the world, but he will be unaffected by the world because he is immersed in Brahman. And it's also here what Shankara says as avikalam, without any break. So Brahma doesn't take any break like we take break from work, we take break from many other things, yet Brahma doesn't take any break because he continuously does the process of creation. So Brahma creates the world, then what happens? Virachayati lokan avikalam vahatyenam shaurihi katamapi sahasrena shirasam. Sahasrena shirasam shaurihi. Shaurihi, shauri means Vishnu. Sahasrena shirasam, with his 1,000 heads. We can say either his 1,000 heads or the 1,000 heads of his serpent which stays above him. So virin vahati enam shaurihi, enam, this duli or this world which is created out of duli, vahati shaurihi, shaurihi vahati, shauri or Vishnu supports it. How? Katamapi, we don't know how. Sahasrena shirasam, with 100 heads. So this is a, we don't know how, but somehow he supports it, he bears it, he sustains it with his 100 heads. This is a way of telling that devis, the creation out of devis, padaduli, is so big, so huge, beyond apprehension, that somehow Vishnu supports it. How does Vishnu support? That means it is in a way telling that Vishnu cannot really support. But how does he support it? How is he capable of supporting? Though he is incapable, yet he is capable of supporting. Why? Because he is a devotee of Devi. So the Devi Mahatmyam as well as Devi Bhagavatam, those are two works which speak about Devi's Mahima. Both of those speak about Vishnu taking the help of Devi. So there is a beautiful story about Madhu Kaitabha, the two asuras of Madhu and Kaitabha. So what happened was, Vishnu was doing meditation in Palai, in underwater. At that time, in between, out of his nostrils, two dust or impurity came out, and two asuras came out. The impurity became two asuras known as Madhu and Kaitabha. So these Madhu and Kaitabha, when they came out, they found that everywhere it's water. So they started searching. They somehow found Brahma. They started teasing Brahma. Brahma became afraid and ran to Vishnu. And then Vishnu like confronted them. And they had a war, yuddham with Vishnu. So Vishnu fought with them. So but the rule for fighting is that one person should fight. So what would happen is, when Vishnu would be fighting Madhu, Kaitabha would take rest, and when Madhu would get tired, Kaitabha would come and fight, Madhu will rest. So this went on and on. They were taking rest. Madhu and Kaitabha took turns to fight, therefore they were ever fresh. But Vishnu became a bit tired. He didn't know what to do. Then finally, he prayed to Devi. He prayed to Devi, "O Devi, help me kill them." And thereby he got strength and he killed them. So that is why Vishnu is called Hare Murare Madhukaita Bhare. Madhukaita Bhare. one who is a killer of Madhu and Kaitava, the two asuras. So Puranas speak about various stories. Devi Bhagavatam and Devi Mahatmyam speak about various stories where Vishnu got strength from worshipping Devi. So therefore Vishnu gains strength. Vishnu somehow with his thousand heads supports the world created out of the Padaduli of Devi. He is incapable of it, but he gets capability because he is a devotee of Devi. So a person who is a Devi Bhakta, who worships Devi as the ultimate reality of Brahman, he would be able to do things which he is incapable of. Amma is considered as an avatara of Devi, but even if we don't consider her an avatara, she is a devotee of Amma. She is a devotee of Devi, goddess. Amma controls the entire mission. There is a Mata Amritanandamayi Mission Trust which donated millions of dollars for tsunami as well as the storm, hurricane hit US, Amma donated a lot. So though she is always busy with activities, yet she is doing things which we know that she is incapable of doing all those things. Because she is a normal woman, how can she do all those things? How can she control an entire mission and donate crores of rupees? She sits at a stretch for hours, for 20 hours giving darshan to people. How is it possible? She cannot do it. How does she get the strength? She gets the strength because she is ever immersed in Devi. She is ever immersed in goddess Lalitambika. And that is the reason why she gets that strength. So it means that if we want anything, even if it is bhakti or even if it is bhukti or bhakti or mukti, so bhakti mukti pradhayini is what we call Devi. Bhakti, bhukti mukti pradhayini also some people say. Mukti as well as bhukti. Bhukti is bhogam. Mukti is moksham. For both, whatever we need, we have it. If we have devotion towards Devi, then we will get everything what we want. Even if it is worldly pleasures or it is moksha, we will get it. And a person, we all are famous, all know the story of Kalidasa. Kalidasa was incapable of even speaking, but he went to the temple, Devi's temple, and Kali came and touched his tongue with the Trishula. And after that, we know that he is such a great poet. There is no greater poet in Sanskrit literature as well as Sanskrit history than Kalidasa. So if we need anything in life, we just need to have devotion, bhakti towards Devi, bhakti and shraddha, faith toward in Devi, then we'll be able to do wonders to the world. Though we'll be incapable of doing all those things, yet we'll be able to do them. Even as Vishnu, who is incapable of holding or supporting the world created by Brahma, yet he supports it because of Devi's devotion. So Brahma creates it, Vishnu supports it, then what happened? Vahatyenam shaurihi katamapi sahasrena shirasam haraha samshuddhyenam yenam this world haraha samshuddhyenam. Hara means Shiva. Samshuddhyenam, after destroying. Bhajati basita uddulana vidhim. Bhajati, he destroys the world which is the padaduli of Devi and worships Devi. How bhajati? How does he worship Devi? Basita uddulana vidhim, through wearing it as sacred ash all over his body. That means the sacred ash that Shiva wears is a sign of his devotion towards Devi. He destroys the world which is the padaduli of Devi, and out of devotion, out of love, he uses that to smear he smears it as the sacred ash over his body. It's also a symbolic way of telling the importance of the Padaduli of the Guru or Ishwara. Even Guru Padam or Guru Padaduli is so Shrestham. If we go to Amma's mud or like even Chinmaya's, their places, when Amma walks to a place, after that, real devotees, real disciples of Amma, they take the dust that is there where her she had kept her foot, and then smear it in their head or even forehead. So one of Amma's main sannyasi disciple, he is Amrita Geeta Anandapuri. He is from Chinmaya Mission, therefore he is so devoted to Amma. So each time in Amritapuri, when Amma gives darshan, he sings bhajan. So before singing bhajan, he takes Amma's darshan. At that time, he prostrates to her, and then he touches Amma's feet, the bottom or the below part of Amma's feet, as if there is dust there, and then smears it in his forehead. So that is a sign of devotion. So a person, Pada itself is so powerful, it has all negative tensions and all those things concentrated there. It's also Aitihyam that if a person prostrates or falls at the feet of another person, then the prostrating person's bad energies all are transferred to that particular feet, because the feet has the capability of attracting bad power. So it is said that some Mahatmas, some Jnanis, they don't recommend, they don't encourage touching their feet, whereas some Mahatmas also say that those Mahatmas wouldn't encourage it, we should always do it. Whenever we get the opportunity of falling at the feet of any Mahatma, we should do it, because that helps us from lot of sin. So Shiva, as a sign of devotion, as a sign of pure devotion, real devotion, love towards Devi, he destroys the world and takes this as the sacred ash smearing over all of his body. So these are some ways of, so it is says that Brahma creates the world out of Devi's Padaduli, Vishnu supports it, and Shiva uses it to smear over his body. So that is the greatness or importance of the Padaduli of the Guru. So the Padaduli of the Guru is capable of creating an entire world, which means it is capable of fulfilling all our desires. So if Padaduli itself is capable of creating an entire world, then what to speak about the Padam? What to speak about the feet of the of Devi or feet of Vansun Guru? So this shloka speaks about the Padaduli, the as to what happens with the dust under Devi's feet. So if we meet our Guru, if we meet Guru or Mahatmas like Amma, then we should touch their feet. We should touch their feet. We don't need to touch the bottom part of their feet and smear it like Shiva does. But we should touch the feet, because it is a sign of complete surrender. It also helps in removing our sin, passing our sin to the Mahatma. Won't the Mahatmas be affected if we pass our sin? They are not the body to get affected. They just take it and they enjoy it. For them, it's the body that enjoys the sins. They are ever unaffected by it. They can tackle it. So there is a beautiful joke in Amma's life. Once Amma used to tell to her main disciples, they were all brahmacharis at that time, 20-25 years back, that okay, whenever some devotee comes with some problem, Amma takes it. Amma takes the problem, thereby like relieving the devotee of that particular problem. So it happened once that while Amma was giving darshan, suddenly Amma started vomiting, throwing up. So Amma started vomiting. So the disciples, they thought Amma has some serious trouble. Then Amma said, I don't have any trouble. But one of the devotees, she was far away, but the devotee was suffering, so I took her suffering. So after one day, one of Amma's main disciple, who is a sannyasi now, he asked Amma, Oh Amma, you are taking all of this problem, all the problems of people. Give me at least some. Let me also take some and help you out. Amma said, no. Yeah, that's okay, son. You don't have to do it. Let me do it. That's fine. Then he said, no, I want to do it. Then Amma said, you can't do it because my body is different from your body. So I can tackle it. You cannot. He said, Amma, you also have a panchabhuta, panchabhautika body. And I also have a bhautika body, which is made up of panchabhutas. So I can also tackle. So Amma said, okay, then take it. At that time, Amma passed on the problem of another devotee. Another vomiting case. This Swamiji started, this disciple started vomiting. He couldn't tackle it. Within 2 minutes, he said, oh, Amma, please take it back. I can't. So this in a way means that a Mahatma would be able to tackle sins which we cannot tackle. Because Paramartha himself says that Ishvara in the manifestation, Ishvara manifested as human being. So they have a Mayika Shariram, whereas we have a Bhautika Shariram. Their Sharira is made of Maya. It is out of their own will that they have taken body. So that body can tackle all pain, whereas our body cannot tackle it. But the main essence I wanted to tell is, if we find any such Mahatma, we should always surrender. Though the Mahatma or any Guru will not recommend falling at their feet, but it is our duty to do that. We should do that, because only then we'll get rid of sins that we have. Not only that, it's also a sign of getting rid of the ego and surrendering. A person who has ego sins, he will never fall down at another person's feet. So if we fall down at the feet of any Mahatma or our Guru, then it is a sure sign that we don't care about the world, and it's a sure sign that we don't have any ego sense in us. So like, I'll sing the shloka once again and then we'll stop today. Taniyam sampam sum tava charana pankeruha bhavam virinchi sanchinvan virachayati lokana vikalam vahatyenam shauri katamabhisasena shirasam harasam shudyenam bhajati basito dulana vidyum. We'll see the next shloka tomorrow. Hari Om.